your Bibles, please turn back to Psalm 34. I heard this story one time that a preacher said, and I'd like to share it with you. He had finished his sermon, and he was out in the hallway and shaking the brethren's hand as they left. And this one guy come up to him, and brethren, he said, "You know, preacher, you didn't tell me a thing that I didn't already know. I didn't hear anything that I didn't already know." But he said, "You know what? I needed to hear it again." That's the way the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is. I need to hear it. Every time I come through those doors, I look forward to hearing it again. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I've titled this session, "Let Us Exalt His Name Together." You know, we know that God is absolutely sovereign in providence, salvation, creation. And I was in religion for over 60 years. And there was one word I never, ever remember hearing anyone say, and that is that God is sovereign in providence. And this message is mostly for me because that's something that I often forget, and that is, it's something that the preacher said this morning, bless my heart, he said the Spirit of Jesus is in the children that are in Christ, and He is. He's with us wherever we go. It doesn't matter what we face. He's there with us. And He's going to take care of us because He does all things well. You know, God's chosen people, when they're near the great shepherd, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, we find peace, we find comfort, and we find safety. I remember Peter, whenever he walked on the water, you know, as long as he was looking at Jesus Christ, our Lord, he was doing fine. But when he took his eyes off of Him, what happened? And that's what happens to me sometimes. I get out here and I get too caught up with the things of the world, and I get my eyes off Christ, and then His sweet Spirit, whoever remind me, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. And it is. It always has been. He's always took care of me, and He always will. The word exalt here, it means to hold in very high regard, think of or speak very highly of, to glory, also to worship, to honor, and to reverence, and to praise, and to meditate. And that's something that I love to do, is to meditate on God's Word, because that's what gives us our strength. You can't separate God's Word from the Lord Jesus Christ, because as far as I'm concerned, they're both the one. The Lord wrote to use men to write this book. To believe God's Word to be absolute truth, and to believe the record that God has given us of His Son. I want to read a couple of scriptures here before get to our text. But you know, sometimes we go down and we go through very dark valleys in this life. One day everything may be all right, and then all of a sudden something will hit us. And we need to know that God is in charge of it. One thing that I'm guilty of is there's a lot of things in this life that I complain about. And then I remember, now wait a minute, there's a reason for that. God has a purpose, and He watches over His children. But anyway, the Bible says that all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. What that's saying right there is that all the love of God are in those that the Father placed in Him before the foundation of the world. There is no love of God outside of Jesus Christ our Lord. All the promises, all the spiritual gifts, and all the eternal life is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and it's in His blood. You know, He says in His Word, He says, set your affections on things, and I would do good to do this, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to this, and then when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Just to think and to meditate on those words right there. You know, the Christian, the believer, don't never die. They just pass on. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord instantly, you know. And then who is this Jesus? You know, as the pastor mentioned this morning, who is He? Well, in God's Word, in the book of John, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're talking about Almighty God here. In verse 14 in the same chapter, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ Jesus came into this world 100% God, 100% man. And the reason for that was to be a perfect sacrifice for those whom the Father had placed in Him for the salvation of the world. You know, we're not saved by going to church. We're not saved by being baptized. We're not saved by reading our Bible. We're not saved by being good moral people. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb of God. Then in Timothy, God's Word says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Think about this. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles, and I thank Him for that. Believed on in the world and received up in glory. And that's just, it's something that just blesses our hearts so much to think about that. Considering who He is and who we are. You know, as you get older in this life, the glamour of this world gets dimmer and the light of Christ keeps getting brighter and brighter. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians and hold your place here, but turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I thank God for His written word. You know, when we get down and out, get discouraged, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that does that, the place to go is to the Word of God, to go to His written word. There's so many promises there, so many blessings there for His people, for those that are in Christ. It says here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 6, listen to this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. But we had this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then in verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And we are cast down, but not destroyed. You know, Job said that a man that is born of a woman, that his days are few and full of trouble. And then God's word says in John, He says, in this world, you shall have tribulation. So it shouldn't be a surprise for us to have to go through heartache and pain. That's just part of life, and that's the way it is. But I love what the last part of this verse says. He says, I have overcome the world, and He is in us. And I thank God for that. You know, God's word said back in the book of Joshua, Joshua said, be strong, don't be afraid. Lord, our God is with thee wherever we go. And that's something that I need to remember. He's with me no matter what kind of shape I'm in, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter the sorrow that I think, my Lord is right there with me. And all I need to do is to look to Him. You know, I remember whenever I was a little kid, we had a big front yard, and I lived in the country, and there's a lot of us kids, you know. And in the summertime, and I'm talking about I was like 8, 9 years old. We run around barefooted in the yard all the time. There was some clover in that yard. And every now and then, one of us would step on a bee, and it hurt. And we'd go crying to Mama, and she'd just grab us up and hold us and hug us and kiss us, you know. And she'd pat where we'd got stung, and before we got off her lap, we'd be laughing. You know, that's the way God takes care of His children. He takes care of us. He does. Whatever the believer goes through, our Lord has been there. And we thank God that we've got a high priest that knows what we go through, for He says that we have a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord takes care of His children. He always has, and He always will. And don't you love what Isaiah says? He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why is that? For he hath clothed us with the garments of salvation. Not we, but he. He hath covered us with the robe of his righteousness, not our righteousness. I have no righteousness in this flesh. I have none at all. But in Christ, I am covered with his righteousness. And our life, and the life is in the blood. Thank God for that. It says here, you know, David was having a very hard time, if you will. Go back to Psalm 34. David was having a very hard time here. His king was trying to kill him. Saul had over 3,000 men chasing him, trying to kill him. And David had been anointed king. He just hadn't took that position yet. And he was hiding in a cave. He was hiding in a cave. Even people in his own land didn't want nothing to do with him. And what did he do? He sets a good example for us from when we get down and out. Here he is sitting in this cave, and he's got 400 men that he has to take care of that went with him because he didn't care nothing about Saul. But he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. When we get down and we get out, it's a proven fact because it's right here in the Word. When we get down and we get out, we get scared, we get worried, we get hurt, we suffer. If we get our minds off of ourselves, if I get my mind off myself and I get my mind on the Lord and get to thinking about all the blessings that he has given me, it lifts my spirit because his spirit lives within me. He lifts my spirit. I don't lift it, but he lifts my spirit. David, like I said, he was in a lot of distress. And where did he find his comfort? He found his comfort in the Lord. It says in Psalm 119, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my afflictions, for thy word hath quickened me. You know, God's word has so many promises in it for the elect. And that's where we go to get our comfort and our peace. Because his word is unchangeable. God is unchangeable. Everything in this world changes. Nothing stays the same. But when it comes to God, Malachi says in his word, he says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. And then the Bible says, the flower fadeth and the grass withereth, but the word of our God will stand forever. He says, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, when I get out and I get down and get worried and something, most of the time before it's over with, I find out I don't have no control over it anyway. Why am I worrying about it? You know, most of the things that I worry about in this world, I come to realize that I don't have no control over it. I know someone who does. God is absolutely sovereign in providence, and he has absolutely control over all things. And we don't realize this, and I don't realize this, and that is, Psalm 40, the Word of God says, many, O Lord my God, are thou wonderful works which thou hast done, and thou thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer up the sacrifice of praise of God continually, that is a fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But he blesses us each and every day of our lives. And we don't realize that. Some of us probably do, but I don't realize it. But he blesses us each and every day of our lives. Each and every day. Let's read verse 1 and 2 in our text. In Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. My praise shall continually be in his praise shall continually be in his mouth, in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know, it's not good to boast about things, but there's one thing that we can never boast enough about, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our all and he is in all. If you will, turn to Jeremiah 9. Hold your place here and turn to Jeremiah 9. I like to read these verses because it puts me in my place a lot of times. Sometimes I get into myself. But verse 23 in Jeremiah 9. Look at verse 23. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." You know, I'm not saying that I've got much wisdom, but I'm saying that the day may come when I may not even know what my name is. I may not even know where I live or who my family is. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. You know, at one time a man may be real strong, but the day may come when someone may have to help him off a couch to get him to go to bed. And then let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, God's word says that we brought nothing into this world, and we certainly will not take nothing out of this world. Everything that we have in this world, God give it to us, and it belongs to him. And then verse 24, listen what we are to glory in. This verse blesses my heart so much. He says, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises," listen to this, "loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." And this right here really blesses my heart. He says, "For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." That's toward his loved ones. That's toward his people. Thank God for that. You know, it says that the humble should hear thereof and be glad. You know, the humble love to talk about all about the Lord and what the Lord has done for them, and how that they need him. What does the proud talk about? They like to talk about what they've done for the Lord and how much the Lord needs them. It's just the opposite. But I need the Lord each and every day of my life. Every morning when I get up, before I ever leave the house, we never know. When we open that door, we never know what's outside that door. We never know what we're going to face that day. But we know that the God, Lord is with us, and we thank him for that. Look at verses 18 and 19. It says, "The Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and saveth such as he of a contrite spirit." That's verse 18 of chapter 34. He says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth him out of them all." You know, the humble will say what Psalm says in chapter 115. "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name we give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." When God's people hear all the praise given to the Lord, and the Lord alone, it blesses their heart. And that's where that we put our trust. That's where God's people put their trust. They put their trust in the Lord and the Lord alone. Read verse 3 here in our text, if you would. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We're of one mind, one accord, and one purpose. We're here to worship God, to praise him, to magnify him, and to exalt him." You know, the highlight of my life is whenever I get to come into this church and to hear Gabe preach the glory of God. I've been coming here for 9 years, and I've never left this church without being blessed because of the grace preachers that have been here and because of my pastor, Gabe. We are so blessed to have him, and God has blessed him so much. You know, we cannot make God greater or higher than what he is, but if we adore him as infinitely great and higher than the highest, and then we give him glory and all glory. You know, Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created." In other words, brothers, it's not about us. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we are in hard times, whenever because we begin to meditate on His grace, you know, we get down and out, we get worried, we get scared. It happens every time. When we begin to meditate upon Him, upon His grace, upon His mercy, upon His love, His everlasting love, His long-suffering, I thank God for His long-suffering, on His loving kindness, on His compassion toward His children, on His goodness. We realize how great He is, and I realize how great, how blessed that I am to have a Lord such as Him. He is perfect in all of His ways. He does all things well. In verse 4 here of our text, it says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. How many times do you read that in the Bible? He delivered me from all my fears. We need to stay close to the Lord. Jeremiah 31:3 said, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have led thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I grown thee. You know how many times in religion did I hear somebody say, I got saved? I got saved. I didn't get anything. The Lord grew me. The Lord grew me. He says in John 6:44, our Lord said, no man can come to me except for the Father draw him. You know, when the Spirit of God begins to deal with a man, to draw the soul of a sinner to Him, He implants in him a divine instinct to seek the Lord. Only later does a saved sinner, that's what I am, I'm a saved sinner. There's two kinds of sinners in this world, saved and lost. But a saved sinner realizes that it was the Lord that was the original seeker. Psalm 110:3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There's an old hymn that says, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. And that is really true. Verse 4 here. Let's read verse 4 again. It says, I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, it's not about head knowledge, but it's about heart knowledge. And we need to stay as close to the Lord. I need to stay as close to the Lord as I can each and every day of my life. And as I stand here, the Lord knows what's so good is the Lord that we serve. He knows our heart. And I need Him so much. I need Him every day. And I love Him more and more and more. You know, that's why we go to gather together to worship Him, to grow in grace, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord Jesus, He said, learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls. Book of Isaiah says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I need to always remember that God is absolute sovereign and providence. Regardless of what comes my way, it's for His glory and it's for our good, regardless of what it is. In verse 5 here of our text, it says, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Who is He talking about here? He's talking about all the believers before Him. Many besides Him have looked unto Him. How? By faith, prayer, and they've been enlightened by it. You remember Job said, he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and at the latter day He shall be upon the earth. He said, though worms destroy this body, yeah, in my flesh I shall see God. He's coming back. I thank Him for that. You know, it has wonderfully revived and comforted so many in this world when they look to Jesus Christ, our Lord, His people. When we look at the world, we're darkened. We are filled with uncertainty and at times at a loss. But when we look at God, from Him we have the light, both of direction, joy, and our way is made plain and pleasant. When we put all of our trust in Him. Now that's important right there. You know, all too often, a man, you know, pride sometimes gets in the way. But whenever we look to the Lord and we put all of our trust in Him, all of it, and that means all, look to Christ and to keep on looking. One preacher said, I look to Christ yesterday, I look to Him today, and he said, I'll look to Him tomorrow, and he said, when I leave this world, I will still be looking to Him. When we look to the Lord, it gives us confidence. It's not our confidence. Our confidence is in our Lord. He helps us to handle the hard things that comes into our lives as part of His sovereign will and His purpose. Psalm 41:6 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 6 and 7 of our text here, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and deliver them. Who is this poor man? That's all of us. That's all of us. This is our heritage from Adam. That heritage. It's, what is it? It's death and sin. You know, whenever Adam sinned, he died instantly, spiritually. You know, later on he died physically. The only reason he died physically because he had sinned. That's what causes death. But this poor man, who did he cry to? He cried to the Lord. Why did he cry to the Lord? Because the Lord was the only one that could help him. He couldn't help himself. There wasn't nothing he could do. He cried to the Lord, the only one that could help him. And the Bible says that the Lord heard him. And what a blessing this poor man got. As one preacher said, and we're talking spiritually here, is that in Adam, we all died spiritually. And when that happened, we was nothing, had nothing, knowed nothing. And worst of all, we could do nothing. But the Lord, out of His abundant mercy, heard him. And the Lord saved him out of all of his troubles. And the Lord will deliver all of His sheep out of their trouble. He'll not lose a one of them. And John, the Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Don't you love Romans 8:28-35? I think it's through 35, but I don't have time to read it. But I read it all the time because it blesses my heart, because I know that there's nothing in this world. All this world wants to do is take and take and take. There's nothing that he can do when we're in the arms of Jesus. The believer is not only saved, but he's also in verse 7 here, it says, the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. You know, the believer is not only saved, but we are kept as well. And the angel of the Lord surrounds the saints, and they are ministering spirits that protects God's people. You know, I'm retired, and I stay at the house a whole lot, and I think, well, you know, I ain't got no enemies. Look at Ephesians 6. Sometimes I forget about this all the time, but we need to realize that life is two-dimensional. Ephesians 6, chapter 6. Verse 12. And 13 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. God's word says, speaking to his children, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We keep on looking to Christ. Keep on looking to Jesus. We'll go back to our text now in 34. In verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. One has to taste food to see if it's good. One has to truly trust in the Lord. The Lord calls him and saves him, places him in Christ. And we see just how good our Lord is. He's always there, and he's always ready to help. He He never goes on vacation. Regardless of what our problem is, we talk to him. You know, I talk to him like a brother. I'm by myself a lot, you know. And I just, if somebody seen me, they thought I was crazy, but I'd be just talking up a storm. But I know that the Lord is right there with me. He's right there with me, beside me, listening to me, you know. And he's hearing what I'm saying, and I thank him for that, you know. But Jesus Christ, he is the feast, he is the food, he prepared it. He says, come and dine. The table has been set. Come and dine. What are these heavenly blessings? We're talking about spiritual food here. You know, every day we get hungry and we eat, don't we? These physical bodies get hungry. But you know, the spiritual body gets hungry too, and that's why we need the Lord each and every day of our lives. We need to meditate upon him, ponder his word, and to read his word. And every chance we get under the preaching of his word, we need to get under the preaching of his word to grow close to him, you know. But the Lord here, he says, come and dine. The table has been set. Come and dine these heavenly blessings of what? Mercy and grace and truth. And as the Lord's sheep, we need to do it every day of our lives. And then we'll look here at verse 9. Of our text, it says, O fear of the Lord, all ye, fear of the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. You know, we hear that word a lot. What is fear? What is it talking about right here when it says fear of the Lord? And we only know in part because we're in these fleshly bodies. But one day we'll be like him and we'll see him as he is. But the fear of the Lord is to know something of his power and our weakness, to truly know that. To know something of his awesome majesty, his greatness, and his righteousness. To know something of his holiness and our sinfulness and unworthiness. To have some understanding that in Christ Jesus, God has established an everlasting covenant of grace and mercy to those that he placed in Christ the Lord before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians 1:4, he says, he hath chosen us, who's us? The elect, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, in this body, I'm full of sin from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But in Christ, I'm as righteous as he is because he is my righteousness. I thank him for that. We'll turn one more place and I'll be finished. If you will, turn to Hebrews 1. It's all about Jesus Christ, our Lord. He watches over his children. He protects us each and every day of our lives. You know, even whenever I was young and rebellious and didn't know him, didn't want nothing to do with him, I was one of his sheep. I just hadn't been called out yet. And as I look down through my life through the years, there's so many times that terrible things could have happened to me. But it didn't. Why didn't it? Because the Lord was watching over me. Because he knew one day he was going to call me. And he did. But here in Hebrews, it says God, in the first chapter of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, listen to this, by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We'll go back to Psalm 34 and we'll finish. David said, when he was down and out, discouraged, and the whole world was against him, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Christ is all, and he is in all. And we as his children, this world is not our home. We're just sojourning. We're passing through. The world hates God. Therefore, it hates his people. But we have someone that is greater. It says that he is great because he lives within us. So we have nothing to fear of. You know, we're no match for the evils of this world. We're no match for them. But we have someone living in us, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his children. That is a match. And I thank God for that. I'm finished. Eddie.